Are you ready?
Massacre.
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 Don't you love it?
Oh yeah, welcome, welcome. Massacre Radio is loud and proud, all over your radio dial, dripping faster than hot butter over a biscuit. On this, the Massacre Radio episode 42 to be exact, I of course am your host, Members Only Dave. And today, my two guests, sounds like a failed 80s sitcom, my two guests. Anyway, I'm joined by the demon himself, David DeFalco. You know him from Heavy Metal Massacre and, of course, Chaos, among others. And we'll also be joined by actor Douglas Dunning, who is the subject of a new documentary that just got released. Some of the older fans might recognize him from his time as a commentator on the TV series GLOW back in the 1980s, as he portrayed the Max Headroom ripoff, Sir Miles Headlock. So we'll see what's going on with the two of them. Hopefully, they can play nice in the sandbox. I want to get to the bottom of why Douglas and his life are the right fit for a documentary. I mean, what's so special about this guy? Come on. We'll find out together. You know my steez. No flipping. Keep it locked right here. Yeah.
You're listening to Massacre Radio.
Próximo momento después del espectáculo, amigos, tú rompiste con ella. Y de repente su culo se vio más gordo. Esta ciencia, biología, está en funcionamiento. O la obra de Satanás. La respuesta y mucho más. Próximo en WKMA Cleveland, una estación a HD2.
Yeah, you're listening to WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station.
Look at this. Joining me now on the Massacre Radio Hotline, it's a twofer. That's right, as right now I'm joined by my two guests, both David DeFalco and Douglas Dunning. Thanks for making time to speak with me today, fellas. How we doing?
Quite all right.
Yeah, we're good.
Now, Douglas, I should have asked you before we got it rolling here, but is it okay if I call you Doug by chance?
Of course, but don't call me Doug.
Yeah, you can call me the demon.
David, I wanted to start with you real quick. As the listeners know, you joined me all the way back on Massacre Radio Episode 7. So just briefly, talk a little bit about what you've been up to and anything you've been working on lately with Dark Force Entertainment.
You know, just the usual, putting out these releases. Ewan's got a big acquisition lately, which I finally got my hands on The Farmer, which is the biggest cult movie ever of the 21st century. So it's now owned by Dark Force, which is a huge development. So that's going to be a major 4K release later on this year. And then also, there's a documentary for that, which is pretty awesome. That's a full-length documentary. But we also acquired the documentary that was made on Doug, which was actually made over 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been floating around. And yeah, I mean, we knew of it and everything, and it just seemed like, you know, this would be the right time. And Doug's had quite a tumultuous ride out here. So it was,
you know, get mild, man.
Yeah. It seemed like a good fit for Dark Force. You know, we've been hyping it up, and it seems like, you know, people are starting to take to it.
Yeah, well, the documentary is called Deconstructing Dunning, about actor Douglas Dunning, who, of course, is on the line with us here as well. Doug, it's my understanding that today is actually your birthday, by the way, so happy birthday, but you went to the theater to see the Lord of the Rings, what now? What was it?
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, extended version.
My goodness, Doug, that's over 4 hours of cinema in one go. Don't you think, you know, that's a little bit of overindulging to a degree?
I don't mind. I can watch 5 films in one day.
But tell them why you wanted to go to this, Doug.
And I've never seen it on the big screen. And, you know.
No, but what's the other reason? Because someone's in it.
Well, Christopher Lee.
Okay.
My mentor and friend of 48 years.
Okay.
Doug's idol.
I met him in 1967. I knew him until 2015, at 48 years.
Yep. Yeah, and he was awesome. He was probably the greatest Dracula that was ever in movies. I mean, he was pretty awesome. Doug took a real liking to him. You can tell he's
very... He took a liking to me. What do you mean?
Doug, I know this documentary was shot and completed, you know, over 12 years ago, but when you first found out that somebody wanted to do a documentary about you and your life, what was going through your mind? I mean, at the very least, it had to seem a little bit out of left field, no?
Well, I was making a short at the time called Squishy Door about a maniac goes around squishing dogs.
Yeah. The maniac out of his head squished the squishing dogs, but go on.
No, not real dogs. You know, I told them, they're not common animals. Right. They were puppets. They were puppets.
So how did that turn into a documentary?
Well, they talked to me at that time, because at lunchtime we chatted up, you know, 2 days we saw that. And, they chatted me up and said, well, you have an interesting life. Do you mind if we talk about a possible documentary? It didn't happen right away. It took a little while.
So has this documentary been released before, or is this going to be the first time it's available to the public?
It's never been released. It's been shown.
First time, yeah.
It was shown at USC about 12 years ago.
But nobody saw that. It was very small.
No, there were some people there. Richard Rush was there and some other people.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Doug, you've said you've seen the film. It was shot over 12 years ago. When you look back even now, how or in what ways do you see yourself any differently from back then compared to these days?
Well, it's about, you know, as I remember it. I mean, I haven't changed all that much. Yes, amazingly, I have not changed much at all in almost 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. He hasn't changed dramatically.
Douglas Dunning and David DeFalco are both my guests today on Massacre Radio. Now, David, why Douglas Dunning? Why him as the subject for this very first Dark Force original release, do you think? What's so alluring and unique about his story that made you want to tell it and release it, of course?
Well, he is a huge character. There's no question about that. And huge in the literal sense of the word, too, because he's 6'8", and, you know, he's got these giant hands. This is like the WWE. We always exaggerate a little, but he's big. I mean, he's a big dude. Like, he's, you know, so he's a larger-than-life character. And the main thing that got him into the business in the 80s was the show Glow, where he played Sir Miles Headlock, which was, you know, the commentator on the show, which was, he's supposed to play a wrestling commentator. And I liked that character personally. I thought he looked pretty cool with the bleached hair and, you know.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like a takeoff of Max Headroom.
Max Headroom, yeah.
You are a polarizing character, so, you know, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like,
also damn good looking.
If he does say so. Obviously, he got a lot of attention, with the ladies. I mean, no question about that. It started to get like a little bumpy, and his whole career started to take some twists and turns along with his life, and it's pretty amazing story of all the different things he went through.
Don't sweep it under the rug, Doug. Don't gloss over the details. Talk about it. Talk about how many chicks you had back in the day, because by all accounts, it seems like you were neck deep in poontang. I mean, that's what the people really want to hear about. Let's be honest.
I'm not going to go into detail, but as I said, I'm not a kiss and tell type of a person.
There's pictures with him with a lot of chicks in the documentary. Like,
okay,
throughout, you'll see, like, there's, you know, all the different chicks. And, like, he doesn't even have to, like, take my word. Like, when you see, I mean, this guy, you know, like I said, like, you know, girls like tall, big guys. And he just
well,
had the Hollywood.
With a velvet tongue, you know. I see extremely well.
Yeah, and he had that, you know, he had the Hollywood look. He had that look that, like, definitely would do well. I mean, so nobody questions him on that, because, you know, that's one of those things that was an obvious.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I don't want to get too in the weeds here, Doug, but I know back in the day you met a bunch of well-known celebrities and actors, names like William Marshall, Jonathan Frid, and Christopher Lee, just to name a few here. I mean, William Marshall, for God's sakes, the guy who played Blackula, what can you tell us about that friendship?
I met him at Forry Ackerman's Ackermansion. I don't know if you ever heard of Forry Ackerman, but he had a mansion which he had everything under the sun in, three levels, called the Acker Mansion.
And Blackula was there.
He had these Halloween parties, and he'd come in, and they had Robert Quarry and
Count Landis,
Dante, number of people. And Robinson, The War of the Worlds, she came there a lot, and Terry
can,
Moore.
Can you imagine seeing Blackula? Because he was so awesome. Like, I would have loved, he had a presence like there was no tomorrow. Like, I would have loved to meet him.
Well, David, that just goes to show you how interesting the documentary is going to be, because that's Doug's life. I mean, he lived it, you know?
Yeah. No, it's incredible. And that's why this documentary covers all the bases. Like, not only does it show, like, the myriad of all these celebrities and directors, producers, studio people he met, but also the twists and the turns of all some of the major key points of things that happened that took his life into a, you know, somewhat of a downward spiral, and how he overcame certain things, and obviously is still around. And I have a friend who was a child actor. He's a friend of mine. I had him watch some of it, and he loved it. Like, he was like, I'm a fan of Dunning's now. And I'm like, wow. So I was seeing some of the impact, like, that people would have, you know, watching this thing.
No, for sure, for sure. If you're just joining me, my guests, or should I say my guests plural, today are David DeFalco and Douglas Dunning. The documentary is called Deconstructing Dunning, available now on Blu-ray. Visit DarkForceSuperstore.com and get your copy right now. I know I am, if you can hear this. That's me typing away, Dark Forest Superstore, ordering my copy. Okay. I have a few more questions here about you, Doug. I want to get through before we kind of get
back. I have something I promised that I would run 3 minutes of me talking with Christopher.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to run that right now for you. Hang on. Here we go. You hear it?
Yes.
Barely.
Faintly.
Are you hearing it? Because I can't really hear it that well.
It's a little faint there in the background.
Yeah. Kind of faint, Doug.
Yeah. You're better now?
Can that, Doug, because it's just too dark. Shut that.
Microphone on here.
Yeah, no, you can't hear it.
It's a DVD player with a pop-up screen that I'm using.
Yeah, well, shut it off.
All right.
Now, Doug, I'm just reading this here as written from the write-up here on the Dark Force website. It says you burst onto the scene here in the 1980s on the hit TV series Glow. That's Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, of course, playing wrestling announcer character Sir Miles Headlock. Doug, did you have any previous wrestling announcer experience prior to joining Glow?
No, I most certainly did not, no. No, I started acting in the 60s, and then I went off on my adventures, which is not indeed in the documentary, because I smuggled artifacts out of Honduras, I climbed mountains, I went to archaeological digs. I kind of put my career on hold, and I went off and did whatever I wanted while I was young. Because Chris said, go out and get experience, get the life experience. I had it in 5 years of war. Now there's no war, so you got to go out and experience life, and that's what I did. So you can draw on the experience when you're an actor.
Oh, I see. That was the logic behind that. Yeah. Well, there's that old saying in Hollywood, well, it's all about who you know. Well, I mean, this kind of contradicts that old saying. So, I mean,
I never used any of them.
Well, I mean, maybe you should.
That's why they respected me, because I never used them.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, you say you've never used people. DeFalco seems to think you should have. I mean, wouldn't it have been easier to have used some folks at some point along the way for some things, given your situation? I feel like that's reasonable.
If you use them, you know, to get work, they don't respect you. You know, the way I'm brought up, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, but what about just asking them for a favor? I mean, I don't know. Like, I just think that, you know, it might have been a nice idea if you would utilize some of the contacts.
Also, a good number of them were retired, too. You know?
Yeah.
Richard Rush did not make any more movies after that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. So,
and Gordon Hessler was 80-something. He wasn't directing anymore. You know.
Well, Doug, we've talked about the bevy of powerful figures in Hollywood throughout the years you've met and interacted with, despite your, albeit modest, success throughout your career. What, in your mind, has been the biggest contributing factor to you occasionally being homeless and down and out, would you say?
Being in prison for a year. I was illegally, unlawfully put in prison because I reported somebody for raping a woman. And I was removed from William Morris Agency, which I was, and And then shortly after that, I was in prison.
So all this is like a result of
not
you trying to get...
In prison, they had a label on me as a terrorist. They really gave me the slinger, you know, the real, they really fucked me over, pardon my French.
Doug, do you ever see yourself getting back and squared away with what would be perceived as, quote, a normal life?
Once I get making decent money again.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully it happens soon because, you know... Then, yeah, it's been a rough road.
It's harder now when you're older, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, okay. Nothing gets easier.
But I've always been very rugged, and remember, I also had a near-fatal accident 7 years ago. I was hit by a car and almost killed.
Well, that's fair enough. I didn't see it in here on my research packet, anything about the accident. What can you tell us about the accident that nearly claimed your life, Doug?
Well, let me preface it by saying he wasn't hit by just a car. He was hit by the most prestigious car on the planet. We all know what that is. Let's see how good Dave is. We know what car that is, right?
I'm going to go with Lamborghini on this one.
Ah, beautiful. Yes, indeed. Only the best. Yeah, no Ferrari.
I had a subdermal hematoma, spinal damage. My leg was twisted and mangled under the wheel. And Dave can tell you I'm walking and running fine. I mean, I made a full recovery after 7 years. It took almost 2 years for me to get out of the hospital.
Well, Doug, I got to ask, was this one of those situations where you could have got, like, some money out of this for getting injured? I mean, what happened with that? What's the deal?
I'm not going to go in detail because I still have it trying to litigate it somehow because somebody did hit me and they had a Lamborghini. So, you know, the three strikes and you're out and, you know, you lose your license. I suspect it might have been that because they did call an ambulance for me. Absolutely.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah, but it wasn't entirely a hit and run, but it's like a hit and run because they ran off. But they did call an ambulance, and the ambulance came within 15 minutes. And my brain hanging out of my skull, literally.
I mean, it was literally hanging out of your skull, you say?
That's right, literally hanging out of my skull. Not the whole thing, just a bit of it, you know.
I mean,
now they stapled my skull together to put my brain back in. And the whole brain didn't. No, just a little bit of it. Just a little bit was looping out of it, you know.
Doug, what are you hoping to gain the most from this release of the documentary? Do you still have hopes that maybe you can have a late career resurgence, so to speak? Or what are your sights set on here?
I think that's entirely possible because I am still very athletic for a man my age. I don't look my age. And I speak, well, I hear my voice. My voice doesn't sound like a 71-year-old, does it?
Not at all, actually. Now, you'll have to pardon the pun here, Doug, but with your life being such a roller coaster at times anyway, after seemingly so many ups and downs, what is it that keeps you going? What is that driving force, would you say?
I just get with it. You know, I have a moral center. I've always maintained my integrity through it all and a sense of humor. And that's my secret.
Andy has no choice. Like, he faces certain obstacles that, you know, he has to deal with them.
Yeah.
So if anything happens as a result of the documentary or just him continuing to pursue the career, I mean, it can only help.
Lastly, what is the one thing you want the audience to take away from their viewing experience after watching Deconstructing Dunning?
Well, this all happened. This is for real. This is not scripted. Not like that show they got on Netflix, which is very similar. The character is Donnie Dunn on that thing, that baby reindeer, which is somewhat similar. That's why I said you go to Netflix. I think they would pick this up in a minute because this is the real thing, not scripted. It all goes to prove that fact is stranger than fiction.
My answer to the thing is definitely the same thing that we said about Chaos. It's a cautionary tale. I think people will be thoroughly entertained by it with a full spectrum of emotions. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll cringe. But at the end of the day, you know, you'll think twice before you decide you want to come make it in Hollywood.
David, talk about some of the bonus features that are included with Deconstructing Dunning. Something about voicemails, I hear.
Yeah, there was. I wanted to put some really spectacular bonuses, and there was some really funny stuff. Like, he was employed by another label, Cinema Ecom.
Can't mention names, you know.
So what do you mean? He's in the documentary, so.
No, but well, you got to be careful about the kind of thing.
Doug was leaving messages for him on his answer, you know, his voicemail that were hysterical because I guess he owed him money. And so this one
that
after the
exactly
other, and Doug,
yeah.
Doug is getting more and more increasingly agitated with each message, and it's pretty hilarious. I mean, it's very entertaining because just the way he's talking to his boss is pretty hysterical. And then there's a hilarious interview with Franco Nero and Burt I. Gordon, the legendary Burt I. Gordon, who was a big time director of these B movies. And Doug actually conducted the interviews in there. Oh, man, the Burt I. Gordon one is just...
The last interview conducted with him.
It's worth the price of the disc. That extra alone is worth the price of the disc because it's, you got to see it to believe it. That's all I can say. This is Doug's shining moment, folks. So let's
mention the other thing that we might be coming soon.
I mean, you know, obviously we have other stuff in the works. Should this, but signs are looking pretty good on this. But we'll see. I mean, no, the jury's still out. It's only been out a short time, and it's still making rounds.
You mentioned that you were calling it. You told me about it. Remember?
What?
Yeah, the best of Dunning.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, I have potentially other stuff that we could easily put out, but right now, things will continue to happen. So.
You can do that too.
It's all up to you, folks. If you guys are entertained by Dunning and want to see more of them, then you know we will find that out and it'll go forward. And for Doug's sake, I certainly hope so.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Douglas Dunning is going to get his own action figure?
Oh God, yeah, that was another one of his genius ideas. He wanted to do an action figure himself because he thought that would be able to generate a lot of money, right, Doug?
Yes, well.
Well, what is the action figure actually about, though? Of course it's going to be you, but what's it going to be? What's the theme? Is it going to be you parked in a theater seat watching Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, extended edition for, you know, 4 hours and 12 minutes, or what?
You know, just
a ride. Yeah, but the thing is, it would be cool to a Max Headroom. I mean, a Sir Miles Headlock action figure might be cool, but I don't think it's known enough to...
Or a bobblehead,
Yeah. I like the action figure better, but, I mean, you know, it's... I don't know. I think that would be tough, personally. I think the documentary is the best shot at the present moment.
The website is darkforcesuperstore.com. The documentary is called Deconstructing Dunning, so go check that out. I am absolutely on board with this, by the way. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we pop out of here, gentlemen?
Yes, there is a film I'm going to be starring in August or September of this year called Making It. It's a new kind of a movie. It's called a solution film. I play a character called Voice because of my voice, you know, and the whole community. And I'm hiding in plain sight, and it's an interesting idea called Making It.
Making It, huh?
Making it.
Yeah. That's ironic, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a ultra-low budget, but it's
yeah, of course.
So. I'm playing
a low budget.
I'm playing a man who's homeless and has a great voice, and I'm called Voice by the locals. And,
well, that should be that should be an easy one for you. But
I find love in amongst the broken cemetery.
Well, let's hope that life imitates art, and Doug, you know, is going to be making it very soon because the story needs to come to a good ending, folks.
Well, better late than never.
Let's see. It even says here, more fun and excitement than a three-ring circus. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Nah, you mean a three-ring circuit.
Yeah, Doug is a three-ring
circuit. As I said on the show, this is more fun and excitement than a three-ring circuit.
Circus.
All right, Doug, I think you've entertained people.
No, that's what I said on the show. And Miles Headlock.
Hopefully this documentary shines a new light on Mr. Dunning's career. And once again, we can hear, "Hello, I am Sir Miles Headlock." This is a famous opening line.
Hello, I'm Sir Miles Headlock. Big world boss, computerized wrestling commentator.
Yep.
He's still got
there
it.
There he is, folks. Yeah, he sure
does.
There
it goes.
So you need to get it and get it soon. So
if you know anybody, by all means, send them my way. They could possibly give me work. But voices like mine do not grow on trees.
We absolutely will. My guests today on Massacre Radio have been David DeFalco and Douglas Dunning. Go check out that documentary titled Deconstructing Dunning. That sounds like a great time. Fellas, take it easy. Thank you.
Massacre Radio.
Hey, that about does it for this episode of Massacre Radio. Thanks again to David DeFalco, the Demon, and Douglas Dunning. That was quite the audio odyssey, an episode for the books, I'd even go as far as to say. I wish we could have heard that 3-minute conversation between Doug and Christopher Lee. Maybe that'll be a bonus feature on the next Dunning release, you know? Seriously, folks, go check out darkforcesuperstore.com and check out Deconstructing Dunning. You know, the word on the street was that Doug's accent, you know, the English accent, I always heard that was like a put-on, you know? I should have asked him whether it was real or if he's adopted it somewhere along the way, because I'm pretty sure the guy was born in New Jersey. I'm just saying. Maybe they cover that in the documentary. Anyway, as always, I've been your host, Members Only Dave, and I'll talk at you next week. Like porch lights, let's do it. Fuck talking. We out here, we ballin', and I'm friendin' these
bust your niggas like WD Party. We fucked up, we trucked up, no ifs, ands, or buts. Fucks, bitch niggas go behind your back like nunchucks, and that's fucked up. But my hoes down, my pups up, my niggas down for whatever. These bitches ain't they too fly, but tell my hoes I pluck them. Cause I'm too cheap, young too cheap. I wear trucks fit, what Gucci? She blowin' kisses at me with her pussy lips, smoochy.